Teresa Walker at Teresa M. Walker.
She's running out of room in her house for all the awards she gets. Yeah, and they're all well deserved, by the way.
Teresa, didn't you get nominated again? Did I see that?
Well, I won my fourth Tennessee Sports Writer Award a week ago. It was announced at 1 o'clock, so I couldn't breathe a word when we were on the air last Monday.
Okay.
But yes, my fourth was announced a week ago. So, yeah, back-to-back. I like that. Now, for the clearance, though, I'm only in one Hall of Fame. If anyone else wants to put me in another Hall of Fame, I won't say no.
Well, you're in the Greg Pogan, John Burton Show Hall of Fame.
Well, that is important. So I absolutely
yeah,
that.
And we you don't have to quit your job for 5 years to get in either. So, all right, now John and I have a discussion. I'm not going to say which side took which, but you're going to settle this, okay? One of us says it was more about scheme, not having a defensive coordinator, and then that is the problem for the defensive woes this season, which were. Tangible. I've got some numbers here I'll get to a little bit later. I didn't know they were that bad. third down conversion for your defense at 51.9%, the worst in the league since at least 1994. And then the other one of us said it was more about personnel than scheme, noting who was and who wasn't out there from a year ago. What say you?
I think it's about personnel. It would be nice if there was a defensive coordinator, but you had somebody who was scheming things up, who was presenting things in meetings, who was making the calls during games. Guys, they didn't have the horses. They spent multi-millions of dollars on Vic Beasley, Jadeveon Clowney. Didn't get a single sack out of either of them. They just didn't have enough pieces. And, that's the thing. They didn't bring back Logan Ryan. They spent a sixth-round pick to bring in Desmond King to help bolster the secondary midway through the season. And, they trade away Jarrell Casey for a seventh-round pick and just honestly did not replace either of them effectively until it was just far too late.
And I thought Logan Ryan, and who's in front of everybody talks about, Kevin Byard this, Kevin Byard that. Who was in front of him? Dory Jackson and Logan Ryan weren't available this year. So you want to let her know who she agreed
you
with?
You sided with Greg T, so...
Is she Fugazi to you?
No. I love T. She's the best. T, you have a much better relationship with Vrabel than I do. I don't even think he knows my name. Not that it matters, but... I don't know. I got kind of turned off at his press conference last week when he was like, well, I guess I'll apologize. Everybody's making a big deal out of who calls the plays. But, personnel aside, the proof is right there. This was a bad defense. And, the idea to kind of share duties with Shane Bowen for Vrabel, backfired. So, and then you hear that maybe he will get a defensive coordinator. Supposedly he, interviewed Terrell Austin last week from the Steelers. I don't know. I just felt like he kind of fluffed that off like, oh, you guys in the media don't know what you're talking about. Look at the numbers. Look at the results. This was a historically bad defense.
Well, I'll say this. He can say whatever he wants, JB, but, I've been pointing out, we've all been pointing out, the defense sucks.
Right.
I mean, we've got lots and lots of stats on our side. And no offense, Mike, but
right.
You can say whatever you want. He can control what he says. We can control how we report it, and we have all these stats to back up what we do. 15 sacks for 15 games, dead last in the NFL. I'm sorry, I'm not going to get excited by 4 sacks in Houston and the 5 that they had against the Ravens, because in the end, especially against the Ravens, it just didn't matter. They couldn't make the stops when they had to. And, there's going to be a reason that there's going to be – there's a reason he, has reportedly interviewed somebody for D.C.
Mm-hmm.
He needs it. This was an experiment for whatever reason did not go well. It was ugly. It was bad. The results are horrible. And for a team that went 11-5, won an AFC South, and had to be looking at that game yesterday thinking, if that was us and Patrick Mahomes is out with a concussion, that's a winnable game. And maybe, guys, when you're in the playoffs, don't punt in the final few minutes of the fourth quarter, okay? As Andy Reid said, the season's on the line. It's fourth down. You go for it.
At the 32 with 4.5 minutes to go, down 22-17.
No, she's talking about
the
Tyreek Hill. Yeah. T, go ahead.
Well, and that's the thing. we'll see what changes Mike Vrabel chooses to make. But, you know, there's got to be changes. And if he thinks we've been asking lots of questions, he needs to check out my social media feed, yep, because fans have been more furious with defensive coordinators. They would like us, if it were up to them, we would have been setting him on fire with our questions over this season about the problems on defense. So, you know, if you don't like our questions, you know, guess what? There are a lot of people out there who would be far less polite.
Teresa Walker is our guest from the Associated Press. All right, Arthur Smith is gone, new head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. The Titans are going to feel this loss, no?
Absolutely. But you know what? We thought, how are they going to replace Matt LaFleur? Oh, this is going to be horrible.
Right.
And it was for a few games until they got Ryan Tannehill in as the starter. But, you know, the key is, how do you replace him? I mean, think back. You know, 2 years ago, we're all like, he's going with Arthur Smith. Arthur's never been a coordinator before. What in the world's he doing? This doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And then the first few games with Mariota, we're like, oh, this is horrible. This was just a bad decision. And then suddenly you get the right piece in there with Ryan Tannehill, and it took off. So I think that with that decision, Mike Vrabel has bought himself a little bit of leeway. Give him a chance to see, who does he pick? Does he promote somebody? Does he bring somebody else in? How does he fill this spot? Sorry, I suddenly got the hiccups. But, you know, he has got the ability to, you know, he bought himself some leeway. So I'm very curious to see how they replace him. The thing is, you know, it's got to be somebody who's going to work with what you've got. And you've got Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown. I mean, this is a good defense. And, you know, you should be able to, you know, geez, if you can get behind the wheel of a car, you should be able to keep it in the road.
That's right. How do you think Arthur will do in Atlanta?
I'm very curious. I mean, you know, everybody that has ever played for him, you know, raved about him and his ability as a coach. You know, talking to the media, that may be an area that Arthur has to get a little better at. You know, Arthur can say an awful lot of things, and, you know, he can be really good at times. But, you know, if you're thinking he's going to be a guy out there that's, you know, I'm really curious to see how he settles into that head coach job, because now he's talking so it's not once a week like we got him with as offense coordinator. He's talking 3 and 4 and 5 times a week during the season. So, you know, he's going to have to up his game there. But I'm just curious to see, one, how he fills his staff. And, you know, if I'm a Titans fan, I'm glad that he's in the NFC at this point.
Well, yeah, let me ask you this, though. Dean Pease, what would the look be if he comes out of retirement and it's not to return to the Titans, but it's to go to the Falcons with Arthur Smith?
Yeah, should we read anything into that?
No, I mean, he's the one who said that he, you know, wanted to retire a year ago after the AFC Championship game. I mean, you know, we just finished in the locker room, and he stood up there and said, and Vrabel's over to the side. He'd already talked him out of retirement once, and he's been retired for a few months, and, you know, he gets the itch. You know, some people just simply can't retire. You know, he tried his hand at it, and if it's not working and he wants to go work and help a young coach, then fine. I mean, you know, guess what, guys? Mike Vrabel is going into his fourth season. You know, he's certainly grown as his, you know, he's now a head coach. He knows what he's doing. You know, Arthur Smith is kind of a newbie. He's never done this before as a head coach. So, you know, maybe Pease is kind of like some training wheels to help him, you know, get on the path of doing the right thing and have a voice to bounce things off. Mike Vrabel, you know, hopefully has grown past that. And maybe this defense needs a different voice to help, you know, maximize and improve, and certainly lots of room for improvement on defense, but to make it a different unit. You know, some, what worked with Dean Pease obviously didn't work without Dean Pease, so maybe you need to make some changes.
Yeah, you bring up a good point about Arthur Smith now being a head coach. You know, I remember Bill Parcells said this, you know, as a head coach, he said about 5 things come across your desk every day that you're not prepared for, and you got to deal with it. You know, in addition to everything else you have to do. So you're right. It's a major step up going from OC to head coach, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Mike Vrabel did it, but he came into a team that had gone 9-7, and he got him to 9-7 this first year. You know, so, you know, Arthur Smith is taking over a different challenge, you know, a team that has been struggling mightily the last couple of years. I mean, shoot, there were a bunch of us that wondered why the Falcons didn't fire Dan Quinn a year ago, and instead they went deep into the season before they made that move. So, you know, he's taking on a much different, you know, different situation in Atlanta. I mean, Matt Ryan retired retired, right? So who's his quarterback? You know, coming here, you at least had the thought that Marcus Mariota was going to be your guy until you realized that he wasn't. And even then, they had a nice backup in line at that point in Ryan Tannehill. So, you know, Arthur Smith is walking into a tougher situation than Mike Vrabel for sure.
Well, offensive coordinator for the Titans, Adam Sparks put out a list, I guess, on staff. There's three names being bandied around: offensive line coach Keith Carter, tight ends coach Todd Downing, and quarterback coach Pat O'Hara. Of the bunch, Todd Downing, I think, is the only one who has been an offensive coordinator in the NFL and called plays. And he's been in the league 20 years. And, of course, Arthur Smith was the tight end coach. Inside, if Vrabel stays inside, who's the leader of those three?
Well, maybe Downing, because you know, yep, he has been a coordinator before. But I don't think you can over, and the fact that working with tight ends, you know, when you're working with tight ends, you're working with the run game and the pass game. So, you know, that's a big advantage you've got there. You know, Tony Dews, I'm not going to discount him as well. I mean, running backs coach. You know, he's certainly been involved with Derrick Henry, and he's also coached wide receivers. And, you know, so I think Mike Vrabel's got several good options if he decides to stay on staff. You know, so and I'm curious to see what he does. Does he stay on staff? Does he go outside? You know, maybe look to bring in some different ideas. The one thing that I think we all agree on is how Arthur Smith was able to scheme guys open. You know, we hadn't seen that much with this franchise over the last couple of decades, where guys will just have room to run after the catch.
Yeah.
You know, A.J. Brown makes it look really easy, but other guys have gotten the ball in spaces, and, you know, that's something that they have to continue.
T, looking at the games yesterday, everybody, you know, Twitter was exploded on the Hollywood Higgins play where he fumbled through the end zone. I don't know where you stand on that. You know, the helmet-to-helmet deal is separate to this for right now. Let's table that for a second. I've always, you know, that rule has always been around. I don't understand why it's such a big deal now. I mean, you know, I think because it happens in the playoffs, and as Charlie said, people probably are just a lot of people just realizing that that is the rule. But, you know, we've known forever, if you fumble through the end zone, the other team gets the ball and a touchback. I don't know. I don't see what the big deal is. What say you?
Well, you know, remember the Lions game when Ryan Tannehill dove for the end zone and had that ball out?
Yep.
And he said after the game that when he came to the sideline, Mike Vrabel was scowling at him.
Mm-hmm.
Because they emphasize, don't reach the ball out.
Right, and Kevin Stefanski said that too after the game. He said, hey, listen, I love Hollywood's effort, but we have a rule. You don't dive and reach for the end zone for just that reason.
Exactly. If you're protecting the ball and you're getting down there close, unless it's fourth down,
mm-hmm,
you know, guys, you need to be protecting the ball. That has not changed. I mean, it does seem drastic. Oh, you're so close to scoring, then you turn the ball over. It's a touchback. Yes, that's the rule.
Right.
You know, you're being coached not to do that. If you've got the first and goal, that's good. That's a whole lot better than turning the ball over and missing out on the points. Guys, if he just goes down on the ground there around the one with the ball, then they score next game play or two, then that's a game that they easily could have won yesterday.
Right, 16-10, it's game on.
Boom, boom, boom. And it was incredibly costly. And there's coaches are teaching guys to do that. Now, instinct is, oh, stretch the ball out, score. Well, the problem is if there's anyone around you, you're risking a turnover. That's why they're being taught that. So, you know, instinct versus what you're being taught, you know, it's a bad, tough thing. But, you know, that's why coaches teach you not to do that. And, you know, as somebody on social media pointed out yesterday, this game has been so slanted to the offensive side that, you know, giving the defense a chance to force a turnover there, if somebody's going to stick the ball out, a turnover is a turnover is a turnover.
One quick question. You know, you can't win all your games until you win the first two, so the Predators on track for 56-0 so far.
That's right, baby.
Hey, if you're a Predator fan, you have to be encouraged by what you've seen through two games. They've shown some resiliency in the third period. You know, they've come out and they've taken control of games. Saros has played well. He, you know, he's gotten some help. The first goal Saturday night, guys, he didn't get any help. He made the first stop, the puck behind him, and you know, Foligno taps in because nobody got him out of there. But then we saw lots of good blocks and assisting their goalie. Saros is off to a great start because the team defense around him is good. And 11 guys had a point on Saturday night. That's the kind of thing that we just didn't see enough of last season. So definitely good signs to start the season.
Well, Teresa, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys.
Yeah, what's the cutoff for wishing people Happy New Year?
February 1st.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, then it'll be happy groundhog.
Right. And then, then everybody can start wishing me a happy birthday. So anyway, hey, Teresa,
every day's your birthday.
It is.
Thanks T.
Guys.
Have a great day.
All right. See you, Teresa.